You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Book of Acts, chapter 2. And this morning, I'd like to give you an overview of what took place on the day that the church was empowered by the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Before his ascension to heaven, Jesus instructed his disciples to go into the city of Jerusalem and to wait for the power of the Holy Spirit to come upon them. 120 of the Lord's followers then gathered for 10 days in an upper room, united in prayer, patiently anticipating the fulfillment of the promise. Yet while they waited, they decided that they needed to select another apostle to take the place of Judas. And so they chose two men who had been with them since the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, and a man named Matthias was selected as the replacement. Many have questioned whether or not that was even necessary. Jesus didn't tell them to do that, nor had the Holy Spirit been given at that point. Regardless, they made their choice and they kept on waiting. And then it happened. On the day of Pentecost, the prophecy of the Old Testament, the prediction of John the Baptist, and the promise of Jesus was fulfilled as the Holy Spirit came upon the early church. And Dr. Luke records for us the details of that day, and he highlights what happened to the apostles and also what happened through the apostles the day they were empowered. First of all, he records for us how they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had been active prior to the day of Pentecost as the third person of the Trinity. You read about him there with the Father and Son in creation. He's seen throughout Old Testament history, and he was seen in the life and the ministry of Jesus. However, the Spirit was now going to dwell within the life of the believers, and his presence would be permanent, not temporary. And so when the disciples were gathered there in the upper room and received the Holy Spirit, it wasn't something that they manufactured themselves. It was not man-made. It was heaven-sent. The church had received a great commission to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. But without the Holy Spirit, they would have been powerless to make any impact within the world. Luke wrote down for us what they heard on the day of Pentecost. It says they heard a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. He also recorded what they saw. Divided tongues as of fire sat on each one of them. He recounted what they felt when he said they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and he also detailed what they said. The manifestation of the Spirit's power on the day of Pentecost was a unique sign where the disciples began to proclaim the wonderful works of God in dialects or languages that were previously unknown to them, and it was a sign to the unbelievers gathered there. This was an unprecedented and miraculous day in the history of the church. And although there can only be one original day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is still active and desiring to work through God's people, even in the days in which we are living. And I believe that all of the giftings of the Holy Spirit as recorded in Scripture are both necessary and available to the child of God. I believe what the Bible says, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells within us. And I also believe, according to the Scriptures, that the Holy Spirit still empowers and fills and baptizes and grants gifts to God's people in order that they can be bold witnesses for Christ in a fallen world. It was Charles Spurgeon that said, quote, "We must have the Holy Spirit. If we do not have him, all of our machinery will stand still. Or if it goes on, it will have no effect at all." We weren't meant to live the Christian life in our own power. We weren't meant to build the church or our families or our marriages in the effort of our own strength. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Following the receiving of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, Luke recorded the response of the crowd. And the reaction of the crowd to the work of God's Holy Spirit is similar to the reaction of people today. As people gathered there in Jerusalem from different nations to commemorate the feast of Pentecost, there were at least 17 different people groups represented. And they heard the sound of the wind, along with the wonderful works of God being spoken in their own language, and they were unclear on exactly what was taking place. The Bible tells us in verse 6 that some were confused. The fact that these disciples were Galileans, that they were uneducated, that they were untrained, they wouldn't have known how to speak in another dialect, and yet miraculously, they were speaking the praises of God. It confused those who were listening, and they didn't know what to think. Verse 7 says, others were amazed and perplexed as they heard the things that were being said. They weren't words without meaning. They were declaring the wonderful works of God, and the people were amazed and they were awestruck. But then verse 13 tells us there were others who mocked the miracle. When they heard the disciples speaking, they mocked the miracle and they actually accused them of being intoxicated, filled with wine. But the main question on the minds of the people who saw firsthand the Spirit of God at work in the lives of the believers was found in verse 12 when they asked this question, whatever could this mean? Those who saw the miracle on the day of Pentecost did not understand. The crowd is questioning. They were looking for an answer. What does this mean? Today, when the Lord is doing a work in your life or in the life of the church, there may be those who don't understand what's taken place. They wonder. They may even question. What's happened to you? Why are you so different? And it's important that we always be ready, as the Bible says, to give a defense to everyone who asks for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. But this question on the day of Pentecost, whatever could this mean, is extremely relevant at this moment. Because I believe that there are people in this world right now who are looking at what is going on in our culture, in our society, and they are asking that question, what does this mean? Why are all of these things happening? And when is it going to stop? They're looking for answers. And the church of Jesus Christ must be filled with the Holy Spirit and with the truth of God's word and be able to respond at this moment. And if you're one of those people here today and you're asking the question, what does this mean? What we see happening right now, such as the love of many growing cold, lawlessness abounding, violence increasing upon the earth, the growing desire to cast off all restraint and accountability, an apostasy, a turning away from the faith, nations rising against nations, indescribable, untreatable pestilence. What does it all mean? All of these things are the very things that the Bible points to that will increase as we get closer to the return of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. And today, if you're not ready to meet the Lord, I would plead with you to respond to the gospel message of Jesus Christ and repent of your sin and be saved. On the day of Pentecost, the crowd reacted, voicing the question on everybody's mind, whatever could this mean? And then Peter, who formerly was fearful and even had denied the Lord three times, now being filled with the Holy Spirit, he stood up and he gave a biblical response for what had transpired. In verse 14, he says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let it be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it came to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall dream or see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy." Peter gives a biblical, scriptural reference for what had taken place. Peter didn't stand up and give his opinion about what had occurred. He gave them a scriptural passage for what had occurred. He said, "This is that which was written by the prophet Joel." In other words, there was a biblical proof for what had taken place. The people asked, what could this mean? And Peter could respond, "This is that which was spoken of in the scriptures." And I'm emphasizing that for you this morning because there are some things taking place in the church that there is no biblical precedent for. There is no passage of scripture that you could refer to. There's no biblical reason for it being done. And there are those who are practicing and involved with some unbiblical and strange and aberrant practices, which creates confusion and division. And it causes many, sadly, to avoid any legitimate work of the Holy Spirit altogether. The Holy Spirit will never contradict himself. He will never call the church to do something that is unbiblical. And if you see that happening, just know that's not the Holy Spirit. That's the spirit of the flesh of man. When Peter speaks this quotation from the prophet of Joel, he didn't have a scroll in his back pocket. It was the Holy Spirit that brought the passage of scripture that was in his heart back to mind. And Peter mentions, as he prophesies and speaks forth this word from the prophet Joel, of the last days, which is an important term, friend, the last days. And the last days refers to the entire church age. It began with the ascension of Jesus Christ, and it continues until the present time. And I believe that we are more than likely in the last of the last days. And in verse 19, Peter keeps on quoting scripture about the things that were to come, even the events that would take place beyond the church age during the tribulation period after the church is taken in the rapture. He says in verse 19, there's going to be wonders in heaven above and signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, vapor, and smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness. The moon shall be turned to blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And then he says these words, and don't miss it, in verse 21, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me ask you the most important question that you could ever be asked in your entire life. And here it is. Are you saved? Have you called upon the name of Jesus Christ for salvation? Are you prepared for heaven to reject salvation that Jesus provided through his death and his resurrection on the cross is to be without the hope of heaven? And if you die without Jesus, the Bible says that you will be separated from God for eternity in a real place called hell. But Jesus died so that you would never have to go there. He loves you, and he proved it when he took your place on the cross and died for your sins. And you can call on the name of the Lord even right now. All the lines are open, always open. On the day of Pentecost, the believers received the power of the Holy Spirit. The crowd reacted by questioning the work of the Holy Spirit. Then Peter stood up and he provided a biblical response for the proof of the work of the Holy Spirit by pointing to Old Testament passages that validated what had taken place. And what followed was a sermon preached, the very first sermon in the church that brought about the conviction of the Holy Spirit and led the listeners to repentance. I've preached many sermons in my life. I don't know that I can remember or even want to remember the very first one. But this is the very first sermon of the church, folks. The very first time that a sermon was given. And I would encourage you to go back and read through this sermon in its entirety. But for the sake of time, let me give you an overview and what makes a powerful, anointed sermon. The message that Peter preached on the day of Pentecost was powerful and it was life-changing for several reasons. For one thing, it was simple. Peter wasn't a master of elocution. He wasn't trained in the art of speech and rhetoric. Yet Peter had observed in walking with Jesus how that the common man listened to Jesus gladly. Jesus spoke the language that the people could understand. Jesus taught with truth and authority, and he remembered the gracious words with which Jesus spoke. The message that Peter preached was to the point, and it was easy to understand. It wasn't over the heads of the hearers. It went right to the heart of the listener. It was simple. Keep it simple, friend. Put the cookies on the shelf where the kids can get to them. Help people understand. Don't get so high and lofty that people have to have a thesaurus to look up the words that you're using. Keep it simple. Another quality of Peter's message is that it was deeply rooted in Scripture. Peter had already quoted from the prophet Joel. He had an understanding of prophecy and how it pointed to Jesus. Next, he will quote from the Old Testament in Psalm 16, presenting the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You go a little bit further in the sermon, he quotes from Psalm 110, referring to the ascension of Jesus Christ, prophetically spoken of. There were no illustrations, there were no funny jokes, there were no catchy hashtags, but instead, the message was laced with the Word of God, and that's what made the difference. We're not to read a scripture and depart from a scripture, never to return to scripture. We're to present the word of God in entirety, in its truth, and in its power. It's like letting the lion out of a cage. You let it out and you let God's word do what it's capable of doing. It doesn't return void. It brings forth what God intended it to bring forth. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents. It goes right to the heart of the person and it makes an impact. Preach the word of God. Too many churches aren't preaching the word of God. They're not opening up the Bible. People don't bring Bibles. People don't know what Genesis and Revelation and everything in between. What does it all mean? Listen, read your Bible, know your Bible, bring your Bible, teach the Bible. This is so critical today that we preach the truth of God's word because there's so many lies. There's so many confusing and conflicting messages out there, but it's the truth of God's word that sets people free. Peter's message was simple. It was grounded in scripture, but I'll tell you something else that made it powerful. It was centered on the person of Jesus. It was all about Jesus. Peter says in verse 22, "Men of Israel, hear the words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you've taken by lawless hands, you've crucified, you've put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it wasn't possible that he should be held by it. Folks, Jesus was the theme of the first sermon preached, and Jesus should ultimately be the theme of every sermon preached thereafter, because the entire Bible points to Jesus. In the volume of the book, it's written concerning Jesus. It's about him. Oh, it's history, but really it's his story. It's about Jesus from Genesis to Revelation. He is found throughout the entirety of the book. Peter says, this is about Jesus. He pointed to the death, the resurrection, and salvation found in Jesus. Folks, let me just share something with you very clearly. You may want to make note of this. Preaching that is man-centered and not Jesus-centered is weak, and it is powerless preaching. If we're going to emphasize anybody, we ought to emphasize Christ, because he's the answer. Do you believe that? We need to preach Jesus. The Apostle Paul said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In writing in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, Paul said, we don't preach ourselves, but we preach Christ Jesus the Lord. And ourselves, we're your bondservants for Jesus' sake. We don't point people to us. We point people to Jesus. That's what we should be doing. That's what pastors are called to do.
Encouraging us to point people to Jesus every chance we get. That's Pastor John Randall on A Daily Walk, and he'll be right back with more. What you heard today is part of our Through the Bible study. To hear this message again, you can do so by podcast at adailywalk.org or wherever you like to listen to your favorite podcasts, or request a CD copy for a cost of just $5. Here's our toll-free number to do that, 877-242-0828. That's 877-242-0828. This month, we picked out a book for moms. It's The 20 Hardest Questions Every Mom Faces, praying your way through realistic biblical answers. Dana Gresh points out that motherhood is filled with uncertainty and difficult questions, and there is not one right answer despite what the mommy wars tell you. You need a coach, someone to come alongside of you. Dana helps you arrive at some answers to some of the toughest questions you face as a mom. It's yours for the special price of $9 at adailywalk.org or call us at 877-242-0828. And please remember that your gifts help us to bring these shows to the radio and the internet every day. We can't do it alone, so please consider standing with us to get the good news of Jesus Christ out over the airwaves. Again, visit us at adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. It brightens our day when we hear of the good things God is doing in our listeners' lives through the teaching of the Word. Share your story today by email at adailywalk@gmail.com. Pastor John loves to read these emails, so please keep them coming. That's adailywalk@gmail.com. Now let's return to Pastor John for the rest of today's message.
When Peter had concluded his message, he pointed the people to Jesus, and here's what we see. What made this powerful and what it produced in the lives of the listeners, you know what it produced? Conviction of the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 37, when they heard this, that is a message that was centered and simple. It was about Jesus. Do you know what happened? Look at verse 37. It says they were cut to the heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what are we going to do? What shall we do? When it says they were cut to the heart, do you know what it means? It means they were pierced deeply within. The Word of God cut through all of the nonsense, cut through all of the charade, all of the masks, all of the walls that had been set up to keep God out. It went right through, busted right through into the very heart of the individual who heard the message, and it brought it a place of conviction where they said, what do we need to do? What are we supposed to do with this? It caused conviction and it raised a question. Peter's message left the crowd wondering what to do with what they had heard. It made them think. And when you present the Word of God and you present the gospel, you plant the seed of the Word of God in somebody's heart, they walk away and maybe you didn't see a result right away, but you know what's happening? They're thinking about it. There's some people here in their car or in their chair today, and you don't know Jesus, but you're gonna leave this place, you're gonna drive away from this place, and you're gonna be thinking about some things. He asked me during that message, where am I gonna go when I die? And I don't know. He told me about Jesus today. He spoke about the cross. He spoke about resurrection. He spoke about judgment. Some of you are going to be asking the question, what am I supposed to do with that? Peter's message brought them to a place of decision.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor John Randall. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor John's teaching ministry by visiting adailywalk.org.